Like to say good evening, good afternoon to everyone. I want to first thank those that have participated in our worship service thus far on this afternoon. I want to thank Brother Bailey, Brother Phillips, for their prayers to God on our behalf. I want to thank Brother Daniels for reading of scripture on this afternoon, and Brother Foreman for his consistency in leading us in the Lord's Supper and offering to the Lord. And then I want to thank Brother David Hill this morning and this afternoon for leading us in hymns that we sung on today. I want to just thank them for their service to the Lord on this afternoon. I also want to simply thank those that have encouraged me through your texts, via GroupMe, through personal texts and phone calls regarding the messages that have been presented recently from Peter's first letter to those that are Christians. For that encouragement, I just want to say thank you openly to all of you that have done that. It has been an encouragement to me, and it gives fuel to that which you do for the add fuel, I'll say that, to that which you do for the Lord. I want to thank you for that. Want to thank those that may be on the call, that may be visiting on this afternoon, that is on the call listening, those from our sister congregations that may be worshiping with us via the conference call, but then also those special, what we refer to at Highland Heights as our those VIP, very important persons. I want you to know from the Word of God, I'd like to say this from the offset, there are about four scriptures that I'd like to extend to you that would encourage you to obey the Lord and why to obey the Lord. One is in Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah recognized that he said, O Lord, Jeremiah 10:23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walketh to direct himself. So Jeremiah realized that a person living in this world, it is not in you to lead yourself. And then Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, as he gave what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, as he was encouraging those that would become Christians, that would believe on him, he shared with them what was to be a priority in their life at that point. And I'm saying to you that are on the call this afternoon that are not members of the Lord's church, Jesus said then in Matthew 6, and verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So Jesus prioritized for those that are seeking the Lord what should be first, and that should be the kingdom of God, which is none other than the church of Christ, as Jesus said in Matthew 16:18-19. And then Jesus also made it important about the kingdom when Nicodemus came to him by night in John chapter 3, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in order that which Jesus asked you to seek, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a person is born again spiritually, he cannot even see the kingdom. And we find that kingdom was spoken of in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 in their worshiping as we're doing today. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, and the church is the kingdom, daily such as should be saved. So those that would be saved or should be saved have to be added to the church. And I want to share that at the offset to those that may not be members of the Lord's church. I'll share with you the importance of it, and I will share with you at the end what the Bible teaches of how one is added to the Lord. Now, I want to say this afternoon, thankful again to be before you via conference call to share with you from the Word of God. And I think as was shared in the prayers that was requested and the times in which we're living, I think this letter will be appropriate because the Apostle Peter wants the Christians to have, and we'll find in the text, the mindset of Christ to protect themselves from the ordeals that will surely confront them in their walk with Jesus. We know we have, in the times that we're living now, we have those that we ask prayer for, those be friends, loved ones, classmates, neighbors, those that may, because of the times that we're living in, that they may come in contact or test positive for the coronavirus. We have those that have been hospitalized with the virus. We even have some of us that may have tested positive for the virus, may have been quarantined because of that. And so Peter talks about a mindset that Christ had, and that mindset, according to the scriptures, will help us, will encourage us as we walk in this life, and how those things that we are faced with, how the Word of God from Peter encouraging those Christians, strengthening their faith, giving them insurances through the Holy Spirit, through working through Peter, inspiring Peter to pen those things that we find. And so for that, this afternoon, I want to say that through all that we're doing, are going through, the subject title is, But Live According to God in the Spirit. But live according to God in the Spirit. Let's start at 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, For as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So Peter again reminds them that Christ suffered for us. He gave himself as a payment for us. He substituted himself for us, and he was sacrificed for sins, according to Hebrews chapter 9, and the verse is number 28. The Hebrew writer says, So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so Peter reminds them that Christ suffered for us. But what Peter is saying now, because of what Christ had to go through and what Christ suffered, there's a mindset that Christians should have. And this mindset, Peter says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So what was the mindset or the attitude of Jesus? Well, Jesus said himself in John chapter 6, and the verse is number 37. Jesus said then, for he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus said that. He said, For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so the mindset for those of us that are Christians, we became Christians not to do our own will, but the will of God. That's the mindset. that Jesus had. It was not about him. It was about what God wanted him to do. And so those of us that have made the commitment, that have become Christians, then as Jesus had that mindset when he came down from heaven, those of us that have come out of the watery graves of baptism, we ought to arm ourselves, as Peter said, with the same mind. And then he said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And so Peter talks about the mindset that one should have again, that we no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men, or having the same desires of men, but those that are the will of God. Paul said when he wrote to those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, notice what Paul said to them in Thessalonica. He said that everyone, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which knew not God. So Paul was saying to them that we don't live anymore according to our passion. We work on ourselves. We learn how to possess our bodies, that it's to sanctification, meaning separated to honor God in the life in which we live. So Paul was telling them in Thessalonica that we no longer live in the flesh to the lust of men as Christians. Now our desire is to grow in the Lord, that we live to the will of God. And Peter says, as he began to remind them of the life that we should leave behind, notice he says in verse number 3, he said, for the time past, meaning it's behind us, of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. So he talked about those of us making this lesson 2020 as we move into 2021, that those things that we used to do, they are behind us. They're in our past. And Peter said, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. So Peter says them that lasciviousness, when we live without restraint, we did whatever we thought we were big enough to do back then. Whatever we wanted to do, we did those things. Peter says that life has passed. When we walk in lust is when we have bad desires that's inside of us. He talked about excess of wine. When we were, those may have drank, in Peter's day, may have drank too much alcohol, and they became drunken. Peter says that to be in the past, reveling, has to do with just partying and drinking, or drinking parties, taking part in those things. Banqueting has to do with trying to outdo someone when it comes to drinking. He says, an abominable idolatry, and those are unlawful idolatry, when we are worshiping things, objects that we allow to become those things of idolatry to us. Peter says, for the time past of our lives, those things are gone. And I want to say to all of us, we have all spent enough time living ungodly. All of us have spent enough time living ungodly. And Peter says, I think in the Paul said in Romans chapter 13, we'll find Paul talking to the church there at Rome in Romans 13 and 12, he talks about that. He says that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, as Peter said, those things we used to do in the past, those things that we know that were not Christian-like behavior, Paul said to those in Rome, cast them off and let us put on the armor of light. He said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envying. So Peter, Paul told them in Rome that we need to let those things, let us walk honestly. And notice what he says here in verse 14, the admonition. He said, but, Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Start wearing Christ. And then he says, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How do I deal with these temptations that I have? Paul said we have to cast them off and put on the armor of light and make no provision for the flesh. Those desires that we all have that are not consistent with the will of God, Paul told them, when we put on Christ and put on the mind of Christ, we won't fulfill the lust thereof. And so we see Peter is letting us know that we're going to go through some stuff. And I know this, when you are going through trial, when you are going through tribulation, when you are suffering, it seems as though, I know for me, those are the times when it becomes the hardest to do the will of God when you are suffering. When that's when that past life rears its ugly head, when you are suffering, when you are going through stuff. When Christ suffered, he had a mindset even though he was suffering. And that's why Peter encouragement to all of us this afternoon is arm yourself with that mindset. When things get low in your life, and they will, when that happens, don't allow the past life to rear its other head. Don't fall back into that behavior that we once engaged in before Christianity, that behavior we are tempted to do when we are suffering, when things are not, we're not in that that hill lifestyle. We're in that valley lifestyle when things are low. Peter said, arm yourself with the mind that Christ had. And then Peter said, understand this here. When you arm yourself as a Christian, you may get talked about. Notice what he says in verse number 4. He said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same access of riot, speaking evil of you. So Peter says that don't allow yourself to be surprised that when you don't run with them, that they will begin to speak evil of you. And the word riot, that lifestyle, when we live wastefully, we were throwing away good money. We were spending good money doing foolishness with the money the Lord has blessed us with. Peter said, we became, as it were, like the prodigal son who wasted that which he had. Peter said, because you don't do that with them anymore, they will begin to speak evil of you. Yeah, that can happen. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can let the words of others hurt more than it ought to. I know when I was growing up, they had an expression, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words we have to learn to deal with. In this case, Peter was trying to arm them with understand that those that you used to run with, notice he said, that you, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same access of riot, and they'll begin to talk evil of you. Peter says here, know that that will happen. And for those of us that are Christians, and in some cases, you may be the only Christian in your whole household. So understand this here. Just like those that you used to hang with, you can sometimes, your own family members will gang up against you. Why? Because you're the only Christian in the house. You're the only one that have put away that lifestyle you used to live. You're no longer, you're trying to stop the cursing and the drinking and the doing those things that you once did with them. And so now they look at you as though you are the quote-unquote black sheep in the family because you're trying to live for the Lord. But I want you to know that's why the word of God from Peter is an encouragement to you to understand that those things will happen. People will talk about you because you are not doing the things that they're doing. And they're, you know, you think you're so goody-goody and you're so holy-holy. You are trying to know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to live for the Lord. That's why Peter said in verse 2 that you should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. I'm not doing those things that men do in their lust, but now I'm trying to live for God, do the will of God. So, no, we do not think, or we should not think, that we are better than anyone else. What we're simply trying to do is trying to live for the Lord. And if that brings persecution, we talked about this before, then that simply comes with the territory. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 5 about those that, well, he said, blessed in Matthew 5 and 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Because you're trying to live as a Christian, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus told them that in his Sermon on the Mount. So I just want to encourage us as Christians, when you're trying to live for the Lord, persecution will come. Paul even told those in his second letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not may, shall suffer persecution. And sometimes the persecution can just be verbally, where people just want to talk about you and talk down about you. But we know from what Peter is saying that that comes with the territory. But then Peter says, in 1 Peter 4:6, he says, For this cause was the gospel preached, the death, burial, and resurrection also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but notice what my title is, but live according to God in the spirit. You had the gospel preached unto you, you obeyed the gospel, and you died to sin, And even though you may be judged according to men in the flesh, what Peter said, but now live according to God in the Spirit. Yeah, the gospel was preached, we obeyed the gospel. So now Peter said, live according to God in the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So Jesus paid the price for us. He said, therefore bring glory to God in my body and in my spirit, how I behave, how I carry myself, how my spirit is, which are God. So as I close on this lesson, what should be the mindset of the Christian when danger is near, when you're going through stuff? Notice what Peter says. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. He said, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Three characteristics given by the Holy Spirit to aid the Christian during troubled waters. He said, one, be sober. Sober. Notice he was encouraging them. Now, he had talked about the drinking that they did. Sober means to be free from the influence of intoxicants or alcohol. So what Peter said, how do I deal with danger? Peter said to them, he said, first of all, be sober. When you're going through, he said that they was going to go, about to go through some stuff. It was right in front of them. And he said, what is the mindset when I'm going through stuff? First of all, be sober. Make sure your mind is clear and the word of God is in your heart. He said, and watch unto prayer. We also to prayer. Those three characteristics are to aid the Christian when you're going through troubled waters. And then he says, as I close, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. And that word fervent means to be stressed out. He said, and above all things, when it comes to living according to God in the Spirit, part of that Spirit is, he says, above all things, have fervent. The word charity means love among yourselves. Yeah, those are the Christians. We ought to have love among ourselves. And then Peter says why? He said, because if you do, for charity or love shall cover or will hide a multitude of sins. You know, when you love somebody, sometimes when they wrong you, when you have the love that Peter's talking about, it would allow you to cover up the sin that someone may have done to you. You know, sometimes some of us, our spirit is not such. That's why Peter said, but live according to God in the Spirit. Your spirit ought to be such that you don't allow the person's sin to continually come up before you. But what you learn to do is you hide that sin. He said, when you have love, it will hide a multitude of sins. You know, for us, when you don't like somebody, let me say this, when you don't care for somebody, it's very easy for you to point out and to find their sin. But when you care for somebody, I'm saying to those of us that are Christians, you can have two people do the same thing towards you that is sinful. And because you care for that person, you will write that off. But the person you don't care for, you bring it up in their face. That is hypocritical behavior from the Christian. I talked about that. Peter talked about that in his letter. And so what I'm saying to us, we ought to be, as Jesus says in John 13 and the verses number 35. John 13 and verse number 35. Jesus said, "But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples." He said if. He said if. He said if. 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 You have love one for another. That's a big if. That's a big if. A big if. But how that love will cover a multitude of sin. And Jesus said, it is by this. Notice he says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He said, "It is by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." One to another. And so Peter talked about those things that, again, we're going through things, but the encouragement from Peter is live according to God in the Spirit. Lift up your spirit. Allow the Word of God to lift your spirit. Sometimes you can get strengthened by reading the Word of God, by talking to other Christians as a form, a source of encouragement. And then, again, as Peter said, above all things, let us stretch ourselves out to the limit when it comes to love among ourselves. And when we do that, you'll find that those sins that will rear their head, they'll be covered because of love that we have for one another. That's my message on this afternoon. And for those that may be on the call that are not Christians, how does one become a Christian, a child of God? I mentioned it in where the Bible talks about, for this call the gospel was preached. Well, the gospel is, as we said and have been saying in this series of messages in 1 Peter 3:18, where it says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit." So we find that one become a Christian by first hearing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sin. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, he died for our sin. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again, made alive, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. And then Peter talks about how we become Christians. He said in verse 31, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth now also save us." So one must hear the gospel. He must believe the gospel. One must repent of their sins and then confess according to repent of their sins, Luke 13 and 3. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37, what the eunuch did. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then being baptized, as Peter said, will also save us. When one, those five acts allow a person to become a Christian, a child of God, you are not born again until you obey the Lord in those five acts. Hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, turn toward the Lord, make the confession of what you believe in your heart, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God according to the Scripture, and then be water baptized. If someone today, you're on the call, get with the person that invited you to the call, they can contact us. We'll set it up that you'll be baptized, that your sins will be forgiven and remitted, and the Lord will add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. I thank you again for your patience on this afternoon as I preach the Word of God, but live according to God in the Spirit. Thank you very much.